Well, go to your Bibles this morning with me. We're going to study. We started a study on Wednesday night. We talked about what kind of faith do you have? Do you have great faith? Do you have little faith? Or do you have none at all? So great faith, little faith, or none at all. And so the topic is exceedingly growing faith. And so we're going to go to number two today, and I'll mention, rehearse at least a little bit of what we said last week and cover some new area. And I think sometimes when you cover stuff again, people will begin to develop and become more familiar with the different passages and reaffirm what they already believe or what they know. And you know, you don't hear something one time and learn. And you have to hear something over and over. That's what the Bible says in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you hear something, the more it becomes ingrained in you. It becomes part of you. And so this is for everybody. This is not just for old people. This is not just for new Christians. This message is for everybody, whether you're a preteen, whether you're a child, whether you're an old Christian, whether you're, you know, just you feel strong already in faith. But this is for everybody. And so we want to help you develop and grow things of God. And so let's go in our Bibles, and let's go to Romans chapter 4. Great, small, or no faith at all. That's what we'll call it. Great, small, or no faith at all. Everybody say great, small, or no faith at all. Well, just some of you are just kind of mumbling. I would like you, if you could use your whole voice. Okay. Can you use all your voice? Don't write right now. Just go ahead and use all the gusto so that people on television can hear. Sometimes when I'm watching the Spirit Live television cast, and I ask you to repeat things, and it's like I'm talking to no one. So we need to speak to the people out in TV land. Amen? I mean, we're not a thousand strong yet, but we believe that we need to encourage people. Amen. So, everybody say, great, small, or no faith at all. That's the kind of response I would like you to have. Amen. So, get enthused about this. Amen. All right, I know it's morning. Faith development. We're talking about faith development, our topic. So, Romans chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. I'm reading the King James Version. And I want you to see in this chapter, or at least this verse of Scripture, that when it comes to faith, you have some kind of choice what kind of faith that you'll have. It's not like, you know, God just dealt me, you know, I'm just so weak. I can't believe for my cure. I can't believe God for certain things. And that's a lie that you learned, you picked up somewhere. Religion has taught people certain things that kept them in bondage. And religion, we all hate religion. Religion is just man-made rules that keep people in bondage. In fact, there's traditions are man. Some traditions are made by man that, you know, keep people in bondage. Jesus said, you made the word of God of no effect by your traditions, he told the people there. So in Romans chapter 4, verse 19 and 20, we see a man by the name of Abraham who is called the father of faith. He's called the father of our faith. God picked this man, Abraham, and he's going to use him for an example for the whole world. Now, he could have picked some Ukrainian. He could have picked some French guy. But for some reason, he picked this Jewish man. But he had to pick somebody. And so this man, Abraham, he's called the father of our faith. God used Abraham to illustrate to us about how good he is to us. and what can happen to our lives. So Abraham is a type, if you want to say, of a Christian as well, that we are like him. And so over here in this chapter, let's go to verse 19, Romans 4, reading two verses there, verse 20 as well. And being not weak in faith, I want you to notice the term weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He had to consider two things. One, that his body was good as dead, concerning in reference to having a baby, producing or reproducing a baby. Secondly, he had to, not consider his wife's body. She was well past age of reproduction. So he had to do two things. Each one of us in here, when we're believing God for something, it's not just you believing something, it's about everyone around you. Especially when your wife or your husband is not with you on some things. Especially when your family doesn't all believe the same thing. Sometimes you have to stand alone. And you have to believe God. And so, we read on. Notice this, he staggered not at the promise of God. Notice the term, he staggered not, or staggered not. Everybody say stagger. Stagger. The word stagger is referring to unbelief. It refers to one day you're in, next day you're out. It means to waver, to go from one kind of faith, next kind of faith, and just say, one day I got something. No, I don't. My prayer has been answered. Whoop, whoop, yep, hooray. And then the circumstances went worse. You say, well, I thought I had it. But that's not how faith works. Faith works when things seem all against you. And that's where it works the best. He staggered not. Notice this, at the promise of God. What is the promise of God? The promise of God is the Bible. Whatever God promises you. How many people here, you have faith in someone? If someone said, I'm going to give you $500 when I get paid, and you have faith in that person. Well, some people you can't believe. For one, they don't have a job. Or every time you believed them before, they don't come up with it unless you stole it or something. But some people you can't put much stock in what their word is. But we can put stock in God's word. So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Notice again the term strong in faith, giving glory to God. Those two scriptures, verse 19 and 20, the first reference, it has the words weak faith. And the verse 20 says strong faith. And every one of us in here, regarding the promise of God for your life, you have a choice to be weak in faith regarding that promise, or you can be strong in faith. This scripture tells us that Abraham had a choice, like you and I have a choice, what to believe. It's up to us. It's not up to God if we have strong faith. It's not up to God that you have weak faith. It depends on you. The onus is on you. Jesus spoke in one scripture we use when we talk about prayer. In John chapter 15, verse 7, he said, "If you believe in me, can you get that scripture up in the New King James or King James Version?" And John, is it? John 15, 7? Is that what it says there? Hello? Do you find John 15, 7, or did they take that out of there? Oh, there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. Okay, so look at this. So I'm just kind of changing our thing here. But sometimes when it comes to prayer, we like to put our responsibility on somebody else for getting something for us. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does not teach you to depend on somebody else for your praying, for your spirituality, for whatever God tells you to do. For instance, Philippians 4:19 says that you bring your request to God. That each one of us has to bring our request to God. Whatever our needs are, we bring it to God. Jesus said, when you go to your prayer closet, you pray to your Father. He didn't say, take your prayer request and give it to so-and-so and to ask him to ask God for you. So we've somehow, became dependent spiritually on other people. And I think religion had done a lot of damage in that. We come from churches maybe that have been more religious or traditional in our spirituality. I used to depend on the priest or the sacraments or whatever it is we did to get me whatever I wanted from God. Because I didn't think that I had anything to do with, my spirituality. I had to depend on someone else. But clearly, if most Christians who are New Testament born-again believers start getting into the Bible, they find out a lot of things that they've neglected and haven't developed in the way they should. Now, look at this verse of Scripture back here. It said, if you abide in me... Now, how do you abide in God? The only way you can abide in God is you become born again, God lives inside you, and you live in him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, how do you get the word abide in you? You begin to go to his word and eat his word, meditate his word, and that's how the word gets inside you. If you don't take time in the morning or at night or during the day to take some time to study something on whatever your need is, if it's healing, some people wait till it's too late. They got a major issue. They got cancer. The doctor says, you're going to die in 1 week. Most of the people would die in 1 week because they haven't developed their faith along the years. They have no resistance, no power to resist. So he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, now we know those two things. Now he says, you didn't say your pastor, didn't say your church, didn't say your prayer partner. He said, you shall ask what you will. Your will has to do with everything's happened in your life. Your will has a lot to do with where you stand today. Amen. The person you married, the condition of your home, right? We don't want to say that because that's a whole lot of responsibility. We like to blame the devil. Or blame somebody else, our spouse, or whatever, our kids. So you shall ask what you will. See, your will has something to do with it. And it shall be done. The word it is whatever you ask for. And it shall be done unto you. So the emphasis in this, what Jesus is talking about, is you. He's mentioned you 3 times there. And nothing has to do with anybody else except you. Everybody say, it depends on me. It depends on my will. Say, I have a free will. Say, right now you have a free will to be in this church, to come to Wednesday night service when we teach on different things. Now, some people, God has given me a menu of different things to preach every Wednesday, every Sunday, and whatever times we deem to have teaching. And so we have those teachings, but when you miss consecutively or you don't really care about it, and then in 6 months' time or 6 years' time, whatever it is, and you have cancer or whatever it is, then you're all frightened because you can't stand alone. I mean, we should all be afraid of, to some degree, but we shouldn't be afraid because God, we know God is with us always. Praise God. Anyway, according to Romans 4:19-20, we have a choice. Your will has something to do whether or not your faith is strong or your faith is weak. Abraham had a choice to either have weak faith or strong faith. You can have strong faith right now if you want to. You don't have to wait for 16 lessons, 14 seminars to have strong faith. You can have strong faith right now. And so, you know, I often wondered, and I studied through the Bible, and I saw in the four Gospels, we see Jesus making reference to a little faith, no faith, strong faith. Then you see throughout the epistles, you see people with, you know, different types of faith. Let me just say this, your faith, let me just introduce the next verse of Scripture here first before we go on. So Abraham had a choice, and you and I have a choice. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Have I got your attention this morning?
Yes.
Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
Because, you know, our faith comes from reading the Scriptures, comes out of the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul is talking to the church there at Thessalonica. He said, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and that the charity or the love of every one of you towards each other aboundeth." I mean, our faith can grow and our love can grow. Right? So here's the God's Word translation says this. He says, "Your faith is showing remarkable growth." God's Word translation says, "Your faith is showing remarkable growth." I wonder if anybody noticed how your faith has developed since you've been coming to Faith City Church. We are known in the city as the Faith Church. My colleagues in the city, you know, whenever we do different things, said, "Pastor Roma, you're the faith guy." You know, I mean, that's what we're called. That we're called Faith City Church for a reason, because God gave us the mission to teach people faith, not just in the city, but across the country. We have a television program that goes across Canada that teaches people about faith. Not, you know, at the moment, not everybody is listening. If I had a miracle, anointing, and I was doing, you'd have the place so full you couldn't get people in here. And that's what teachers get frustrated. You ask, you know, worldwide teachers as well, they say, you go to healing service. I mean, you do healing miracle service. Everybody wants to go. They want you to do it. They want you to heal them. But they might get, just maybe they might get healed if they go. But that's not how it works. So God's Word translation says, "Your faith is showing remarkable growth." So this idea for this morning's session is everyone's faith can excel. That's the point of this message this morning. Everyone's faith can excel, develop, and grow exceedingly. And you can say, regarding every area of your life, places that you have trouble in. So everyone's faith can grow. God has placed within each one of his people, each one of his children, enough faith to live daily. We can either obey God and walk by faith and not by sight, or we can abstain from walking by faith. We don't have to remain without faith or believing whatever God says to believe. We all have common faith to meet common needs. We all have common needs. And God is not unjust to give somebody, not enough to meet the day. Everybody has enough faith. You can be assured today that you'll make it through this day. You'll make it. That God has never decided that, I'm really sorry that Sharon there, you won't be able to make it. She said to me, "Don't point me out today." So I don't know why it happened that the Lord just put her in front of me. So all over Canada, they know Sharon Mendewagen is sitting in this place. So we don't have to remain without faith in believing God for whatever common need we have. No matter where you are today, your faith can grow. Your faith can excel. You need to see yourself excelling in whatever area that you're even weakened right now. Whatever area. So Romans chapter 4, verse 16 to 21, we have an example of making that choice. We can have either weak faith or strong faith. It's a great faith chapter, as we see Abraham here. This reference is a scripture. It's for us to take notice and to follow this kind of faith. Every serious Christian needs to see to it that their faith grows. Faith is not so mysterious that we can't understand it. It's not so spiritual, super spiritual, that the average person can't grasp it. Even the newest person in Christ can grow in faith. Faith needs to be vital. It needs to be, living. I always say, the greatest day in a Christian's life is when you know that your faith is working for you. The greatest day in your life is when you know your prayers will work for you. Amen. That you don't have to go to someone else depending on them to get your needs met. Now, there are some days we might feel weak, and then we ask someone to help us, and we have those. That's not a lifestyle, though. Some people have a lifestyle of it. They're just depending on everybody to go visit their relative at the hospital. I'm not saying that we're not going to do that, and I do it weekly. Go to the hospital. I've been visiting people at the hospital, and we do it because we love people, and we want to, some people just try to send me to the hospital without ever consulting the person in the hospital. I show up. They say, we didn't ask for you to come here. We didn't want you to come here. So it's kind of embarrassing. So we have a policy in this church. If you ask me to go to pray for somebody, you have to ask the family, not only that person, but ask the family. Because if that person is in the hospital and the family didn't want you there, then I ain't going to get in. But to think about it, we don't have to go to the hospital to have our prayers answered. Come on now. You can pray wherever you are. So, see, here's a problem, logistically, is that we don't believe that our prayers going to work unless we're there in front of them. Or we don't believe that prayers, that it'll work unless we lay hands upon them. No, God has different ways to get people healed. We don't always have to lay hands on folks for them to be healed. You can just speak a word. Amen? So it's good to understand these things because, you're not stuck. Everybody say, I'm not stuck. See, we need to see this. So your faith needs to be vital or to be revitalized if it was vital before. You can't stay in one place faith-wise and remain strong. As you grow, things change. Your needs change. Your mentality changes. And different things change in you. And so you have to continually have vital faith. So what do we need to do? We need to feed our faith. Amen. Everybody say, feed your faith. Feed your faith. So it says here to have strong faith, you have to do two things. Number one, you have to feed your faith. And number two, you have to exercise your faith. Yesterday we had a great time exercising our food, our intake. We had lots of nice food. I had a great time. Oh, man, I had enough that I didn't overdo it. And sometimes, you go to somebody's house, they invite you over, your eyes are so big, and you overdo it. In my view, I saw some people overdoing it. We're not mentioning any names. So you have to exercise, you got to feed your faith, and you have to exercise. You have to feed your faith. So you must feed your faith daily. Ask yourself the question, what am I doing every day to feed my faith on whatever needs I'm asking God for? If it's healing, if it's material or financial, what scriptures are you reading up every day on that to actually develop your faith? You know, if you went to the gym and you say, I want to build a nice chest, you know, a robust chest. How many of you would like to build your chest a little bit? Well, some of you need to do that right now. Well, you know, you don't work on your legs. You know, you don't work on your legs, you have to work on your chest. So you have to hit the right place. So get the right scriptures to meet your need. So you must feed your faith daily. Don't wait to be in a need or be in a crisis. Some have starving faith. They're like skinny, old, emaciated, bony, lost all their muscle tone, just skin and bone. If you look at yourself in spiritually, I wonder what you look like in your faith suit. You know? You don't have no bannock at all. You know what a bannock is? This is your bannock. Okay. When I say no bannock, I mean this over here. That's what my uncle used to say. You know, look at him, he's got no bannock. Because, you know, if your pants is falling down. Okay, so. because they haven't been feeding themselves. Someone said this, and it's a nice saying. He said, you must feed your faith and starve your doubts. Whatever you doubt God about, starve them and don't even feed them. Don't even think about it. Not just anything can feed your faith. Not just anything can feed your faith. It has to be prescribed by God Himself. You can't feed your faith tradition and expect to grow strong in faith. Traditions of men. You can't just do religious exercises to be strong in faith. You got to feed your faith the Word of God. In other words, feed your faith on what the promises of God say. You need the pure Word of God to develop in faith, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Feed your faith. Can you get that up there? 1 Peter 2 and 2. See? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You need to feed yourself the word of God so that you can grow. You know, he's talking about babies to grow, you know, of course. You need to feed them milk. But you need the, more than the milk of the word. You need the pure bread of the word of God. So in order for you to grow, you're going to have to feed yourself God's word. Can you find Hebrews chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 13? So this is, if my memory doesn't fail me, we have something going on here. We hit a home run. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Go to verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age or mature, even those by reason have use of their senses, exercised to discern both good and evil. So it's exercising of the word of God that you know that develops your faith. When you know something is in the word of God, then you start to act on it, your faith becomes stronger. So you have to continue. You don't just stay one place. Hey, I don't have enough, pastor. I got enough. I don't want any growing anymore. Right? No, there's not a day. You're not going to ever have a day like that. You're always going to have to, you know, even if you were strong in faith before about healing, maybe it's weak right now. Because you gained there one time doesn't mean you stay there all the time the same way. Maybe one time you believed God for a miracle for something, and now You stayed away from the Word of God for a long time. Now, maybe now the condition of your faith is weak. Or you don't have any because you've been feeding yourself lots of ideas or philosophies that have nothing to do with the Word of God. So you need the Word of God to develop and you need to exercise not just 10% of the Word, 50% tradition, and 40% philosophy, and then some speculation. We'll feed the Word ourselves that kind of thing. I speculate. This might be true. You know, someone said, no, you got to know for yourself what it says. It's okay to quote somebody, but you need to go to the Scripture yourself and find out what it says. So weak faith is the result of little word or no word at all. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, notice this term, according to the faith of God's elect, according to the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth which is in after godliness. So God's people have a certain kind of faith. We have a certain kind of faith that God puts in you at the new birth. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 16, 20 to 21, the New King James Version. Romans 4, 16, 21 to 21, New King James. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who have the faith of Abraham. Let's talk about you and me. Who is the father of us all? As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. This was God talking to Abraham before he was ever had a child. He was old. He was old man. How would you say it in the terms that stuff wasn't working in him? His plumbing didn't work. Whatever that is, what is that word? Does it medical term in that? Well, we'll carry on. So he said, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So God gave Abraham a promise that he was going to make him a father of many nations. When he was not a person that could reproduce. He was an old man. His wife was barren. And of course, the Bible tells us in Exodus that those people, that he said, there'll be no barren people among you, that you can reproduce. So, where are we? And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered wavered at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So the key there is that he was convinced, he was fully convinced. The only way you can be convinced about anything about God's promises is to go to the Word yourself, and study it and read it. And all of a sudden, when you get to the Word, faith is there. Amen. The Bible says immediately upon getting God's Word, faith is there. The second you get God's Word, faith is there for whatever it is. And so it comes, and that's how God gives you that faith. And we looked at this verse 19 to 20, that he had a choice to be weak or he chose to be strong in faith. So what was it about his weak faith that Scripture says that he considered not his body? He looked at his inadequacies. He looked at what he didn't have. And rather than considering that over the promise of God, he considered what God promised first rather than his inadequacy. or his lack. Just like you, you have a chance right now, a choice. You can either consider what God's word says, if you know God's word. And of course, you can't do that if you didn't read and if you didn't study. So you have a choice to consider what God said, or you can consider what your body's telling you, or what the report is, or what the natural is saying to you. So he chose to consider God's word over his body. He believed that God was greater than you know, God is awesome. He can do whatever. If he promised me it, then I believe what he said. Amen. That was a choice he made. Not only that, but he had to say, okay, even my wife, not only myself, but I have to believe that God will produce in my wife. Sometimes in your life, in your Christian walk, you're going to come to a place where you're going to believe that God is talking to your family right now. Like, you know, when all the arguments you've had a lot of discussion with your family or your family member, trying to convince them about God, and you know, you're arguing about things and trying to do your best to intellectualize and give them the gospel in a nice package, and intellectualizing them to tell them, you know, you're not really forcing them, but you're trying to do what you did your best, but still they don't believe. Now, if the Word of God says that, God says if you as a parent, especially as a parent, if you follow him yourself, he said, I'll convince your children or your family about the things. And I can show you some scripture later on where God says, if you put trust in me, I will put faith in them, I'll talk to them, I will speak to them myself on your behalf. But you have to follow me unwaveringly that I'm going to do this. I've seen it. My own life. And I had to stand when everything is going wrong. And sometimes it takes all your faith to stand for that one area. Because you're concentrating on one area, it takes all your energy, mental energy sometimes, and physical energy, and you have to stand. Trust God that through it all, he's going to sustain you. I was listening to yesterday. I for 2 hours I watched Kenneth Copeland in his faith. What is it called? His Believer's Voice of Victory. It's a convention. It was healing school yesterday, and he showed three people who were healed with incredible, odds of everybody ever surviving. Three people who gave testimony. Of people who had, you know, one lady had cancer. The doctor said, "You're going to be dead in 7 days." And she was a person of God, a minister who's been ministering for 30 years. And her dad were ministering, and she had a choice to be afraid, and if she was going to be afraid, she's going to die. Her dad said to her, thank God she had a dad. How many people know that you need at least 4 crazy friends in your life to help you get over something like that, right? So dad says, you know, if you stay in bed and if you mope around like this, you will die. You are going to have to do something. You're going to have to confess the word. You're going to believe God's word. So needless to say, she didn't die. And the doctors went to the doctor. The doctors took 5 specialists to figure this out. We don't understand it. This cancer that's been in there, it's gone. And it showed different people like that because they had faith to trust God. And you know, just, you know, most people would just die. And the last testimony was 3 testimonies, but the last testimony was a live one, which Jerry Savelle. Jerry Savelle had a massive stroke, and then he was like incapacitated. They were doing a routine thing to check it, to clean out his these veins, arteries. He had 90% block. He said, the doctor said, we don't know how you're living. We don't know how you've lived this long with that kind of blockage. He said, I just came out of a motorcycle rally coming off the desert. And he was just to go to a routine checkup. And he said, I just came off a motorcycle rally, 100-degree weather, I'm driving on my motorcycle. The doctor said, we cannot understand why you actually are living right now. That's the blood that feeds your brain. But anyway, he said that tomorrow we're going to have to do this routine check. We're going to clean you out, and you'll be out in a day. Morning exercise. So he's going in. So they went out and cleaned that up. And during the cleaning up, a fragment from his vein went to his brain, and he had a massive stroke. He couldn't remember didn't know anybody. All his right side was incapacitated. He couldn't move. He couldn't talk. The only thing he could say is yes to everything. And so he was in the hospital. So Kenneth Copeland went to visit him. This is his friend, right? His wife called Kenneth Copeland. When they went there, prayed, and different ones prayed. Jesse Duplantis, they're all friends. Keith Moore, and sent him a note. But he was in the hospital, incapacitated. The doctor says, I want to tell his wife that nobody can get out of this. Nobody. Sounds like, Nebuchadnezzar and, who can escape me? Nobody can escape me. So anyway, needless to say, all the explanation. So, funny thing that the smallest people can help you in your faith, right? He was let out. He went to the hospital. And you have to help him with everything. So he was home. His little granddaughter had some, what is this? Was it plasticine? What is it? Play-Doh? Play-Doh? Clay, like she put coins inside this and get him to try to get him to exercise. She said, Papa, get that money out of there. Not with that hand, the other hand. The one that he couldn't move. So he put up his hand and put it there, and he tried to get that money. He said, he couldn't move. And all of a sudden, he could just move just a little bit. He dug in there and got it out. And that little girl put it back in there. Now try it again. He said, if I get out of there, you're going to get a good swat. Anyway. But, we teach our kids different things. They remind us of different things. When you teach your kids about different things. You said this. And the little girl said to his papa, Papa, you said, never quit. I heard you speaking, in church and stuff like that. You never quit, never quit. And, it's amazing how the story, you got to listen to the story yourself. And he came out of it. There's nothing shows that he ever had a stroke. You have a choice. You have a choice to lay down and die, or you got a choice to move on with God. You can either be strong in faith or weak in faith. We all start off in the Christian world, in Christian life, with the same measure of faith. Romans 12:3 says that we have the same measure of faith. Now, I wanted to show you, you don't have the capability to have these versions, but Thessalonians, God's word says that your faith is showing remarkable growth. The Good News Bible says your faith is growing so much. And Message Bible says your faith is growing phenomenally. So we all have a common faith. We all share a common faith as children of God. God equips every one of us with faith to follow Him and to follow His plans. He doesn't give somebody 40% and somebody 60%. He gives everybody the same faith to grow, to start developing it. He doesn't give you, I'll give you a weak faith, I'm going to give you a strong faith, I'm going to give you a medium-sized faith. No, He gives us all the same faith. It all depends what you do with your faith. 2 Peter 1:1 says that Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Every one of us obtain precious faith. Faith is precious, especially your faith is precious when you're sick. This is precious because, when something is precious, it means that, not everybody's got this kind. When something is precious, You know, when in famine, when people are starving, and you know, in times when there's no food in this world, money is precious, food is precious. In the desert, water is precious. But we all have this precious faith. It says to them, 2 Peter 1:1, to them that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God. We have obtained this precious faith through the righteousness of God. He said, Paul and us and all of us have obtained this precious faith. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith. Everybody say common faith. So this is common to all of us that are in this faith walk. We have this commonality in our lives. It's called faith. We have this faith in God. That this faith, whatever God promises us, we're able to obtain whatever he said that we can have. There's a scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just read verse 7 and on. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. So verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. No, this is called the gifts of the Spirit. This is not common faith. Like Titus is talking about, Titus 1:1, to talk about common faith. 2 Peter 1, like precious faith. This is not the same thing. We have to make a distinction. This is called what they call the gifts of the Spirit. Some versions of the Bible call that supernatural faith or special faith. Everybody say special faith. Say, you don't need this kind of faith every day to live by. You don't need special faith to believe God for your healing, to believe God for meet your needs. You don't need this kind of faith to work out problems in your life. This is when everything, when naturally things are impossible, that God can grant you this. If the Spirit deems that you need this. We don't need this kind of faith. We need it when God deems it. He says that God, you know, God will give each one, he'll divide it as we need it. So common faith and special faith are two different things. Special faith is not common faith. It's a supernatural gift of faith to do something that would require more than common faith. But we don't need special faith to do things that God calls us to do, in everyday life. You don't need common faith. You don't need special faith to come to church. You just believe that you can come here today. You don't need special faith to believe God to give you healing. So it says, the Amplified says, to another, wonder-working faith. This is not the same as common faith that you and I have every day right now. We all have to make this distinction between what's common faith and special faith for the things that we have to do every day. That everyone has been given the kind of faith that's able to give you what you need every single day. Like Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. The Amplified says, I will not lack, you know, for leading, for God's wisdom. I will not lack for protection, if you need protection. I will not lack for God to feed me, whatever he needs to feed me, both naturally and spiritually. Like, you need to say that every day. Today, I will not lack for anything. Go ahead, let's say it. Say, today, I will not lack for anything. Say, all my needs are met. So the reason why you're saying that, because Philippians 4:19 says that God will supply all my needs. God will supply every need that you have. Now, every need. So you have to be prepared beforehand. You have to be prepared right now when trouble comes. When trouble will come. If you're alive, the trouble is going to come. Whatever form it comes, whatever shape it comes, And you're not gonna fall by the wayside because your faith is in the promise of God. I see this. God asked me to walk by faith. I'm gonna walk through this situation. That you have to make a choice, like right now. You have to make a choice right now that you're gonna walk by faith and you're gonna make it through every difficulty. That's a choice that you make today. You don't make that, you know, oh, I don't know if I can make it. No, you're going to make it. So not everybody has this common faith that you and I have, that God gave us when we were born again. Not every person has this. You shouldn't expect everybody to have that. That's not in the common faith category of people. Over here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." You know, is that a contradiction of Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, that God has given to every man the measure of faith? No, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to the people who have been born again, that they come to Jesus, their faith is in Christ. Something happens when you come into Christ. God takes your spirit and puts you into the body of Christ. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12:12 says that God baptizes you into the body. The word baptized means to dunks you into the body of Christ. So you're immersed into the body of Jesus. And then he's given you his righteousness. And he's given you his faith. He puts everything you need to live in this life every day. Is this good or what? Is this good news? Is that good news? Like, it's not like, you know, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. No, Pastor Romo, he prays a lot. No, he went to Rhema. I know a lot of Rhema people. They're not like me. They're out somewhere. They haven't done it. The people I graduated with, asked them what they're doing. Oh, we're not doing too much. We're trying to get into the ministry. Well, first of all, you have to know you're called. Don't go to the ministry if you're not called, because you'll quit. And you just have to stay with something. You know, I'm going to end with this. I'm just thinking about something right now. I could go on. I could go on. I don't have to. I mean, listen. I had something funny. My daughter was looking for. Hannah was looking for some material because she's going to Toronto. She went to Toronto. She's going to celebrate her 30th birthday with CL. And so they went up to Toronto. They were in Niagara Falls yesterday, spending some time, girl time. And because they grew up in church, since they were children's ministry, like a nursery, and then graduated to all the way through, and they were in church all their lives, every day for many, many years. And the Bible says, "Train up a child when he's old, and not depart from it." Now, kids do depart from it, but they come back, especially if you put the word in them, right? Now, she picked up some scripture. She's looking for some things, so she handed me all these little pictures. She said, "Look at that. I found some pictures that I took, that was taken of me, of being Bronson." And when Bronson was just a little boy, your oldest grandkid, boy, Daniel, is it? Adam, and he's just a tiny little guy. Now he's like this. You know, I want to retake a picture with them, but I want them to hold me. They're that big. You know? And so I was thinking about that, you know. And I was looking at another picture with Bronson and Jeremy. They were dressed up in some kind of team outfits. We had harvest party, and they're standing there looking at each other. They're so cute. And I said, you know, I sent them a picture. I said, "Listen, this is success. This is faith, kids. Now they're faith like Bible school students." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I said, that's real success. Come on, give them a hand, guys. Give them a hand. Woo! Glory to God. And it's amazing, you know, I'm looking at that. I'm an old man now looking at them. They're just young boys, vibrant in faith, and they're growing on the things of God. So I've done my part in helping the kids grow in faith. Everybody stand up. Praise God. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your wonderful goodness and mercy. We thank you for your faith that's in us. Amen. Thank God. We're gonna pray the prayer of commitment right now. And we're going to believe God together. Hallelujah. Everybody say this prayer with me as a prayer of commitment, dedication, and submission to God. Say, Lord, I determine that my faith will grow just like the Thessalonians. Say, I have a choice to be like Father Abraham, to have strong faith. I choose to walk by faith. I choose to have strong faith by believing His Word and not considering the circumstances. I choose not to have weak faith by considering contradictory circumstances. I will not fear, but have faith in God's Word. Faith in God's goodness. My faith is growing exceedingly. I have strong faith. Let's go ahead and praise Him right now. Father, we want to thank you that we have strong faith. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. We decide today that we have strong faith. I have strong faith. I will not be afraid. You said in the 23rd Psalm, I will not be afraid. Thank you, Lord, for strong faith. Thank you. We have strong faith in this church. We have strong faith. We consider His Word. Be it according to your Word, Lord. Let it be according to your Word. What has been said unto me, let it be. That I am healed, I'm prosperous, I'm successful. Everything I do succeeds. That I have all my needs met. That I'm never alone. That divine health is flowing in my body. I give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every eye closed, every head bowed for one moment. Father, if there's somebody in this room, in Jesus' name, that have never made you Lord of their lives and Savior, let's all pray this prayer. Those that are watching online, say, God, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to die for me and go to hell for me so that I don't have to go there. I put my faith and trust in Him. That He did it all. I believe He went down. He rose up the third day. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I trust Him for my salvation. He is my Lord and Savior. I accept Him in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Give everybody a hand in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As you go out, shake a few hands. As you go, show yourself friendly. Amen.